Welcome to the DC Practice Growth Show, where we share proven tools and tactics to grow your practice. And here's your host, new patient generating expert who self-built his multi-million dollar practices, Ryan Ryder.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the DC Practice Growth Podcast. We have an awesome episode ready for you today, and I'll get straight into it this week. You know, here's the thing. Those of you that don't know much about me, check out my website, dcpracticegrowth.com. We own 8 practices, see thousands of people every single week, generated over 11,000 new patients last year, ourselves and our own business. And we help docs all across the world grow. I also have a best-selling book called New Patient Avalanche System. Just go check out my website and you can get a free copy of that. We pay for the book for you. You just pay for the shipping. So go check that stuff out and subscribe to the podcast. We really aim to give as much value on these as possible. So without further ado, let's get straight into it. The topic for today is why patients say no. Or two main reasons that patients say no, specifically with regards to your initial consultation report of findings. So I'm super excited to talk about this today, and I'm going to give you a completely different angle, I believe, than what you may have been given in the chiropractic profession before. Why? Because, listen, I'm a businessman. I'm not just a chiropractor. I have an entrepreneur. You know, I have information business. I own properties, which, by the way, people think is bricks and mortar. Just properties are also selling. You know, you've got to sell in some way, shape, or form to agree deals, etc. And I've got eight practices. So I think I'm going to give you a bit of a different context today than what you may have been used to, and hopefully give you some huge, huge value. Let's start by saying this. You know, one of my greatest mentors, and you might want to check him out, is a guy by the name of Blair Singer. And he said this. He said that, you know, it's not so much about the content, it's about the context. It's about the context. So within this context, if you will, there's an old saying, the problem is never the problem. So when we focus on, if you will, sales, again, within this environment, a lot of time it's a naughty word. Chiropractors fall into the habit of what we call shouldn't have to-ism. So you fall into this, and this is not just chiropractors, by the way, this is medical professionals in a lot of ways, shape, or form, and any service-based business is we often fall into the trap of shouldn't have to-ism, i.e. shouldn't have to market my practice if I'm really good at the thing I'm doing. I shouldn't have to sell, quote unquote, sell if I'm good at the thing that I'm doing. I shouldn't have to do a promotional event if I'm good at the thing that you're doing. And there's a borderline arrogance in that. And I'll tell you where it comes from is, if you take yourself to the worst case scenarios in any situation, the worst number in business is 1. So let's just talk about referrals just for a second as an example. Like, referrals are amazing. We all want referrals. But if you're only relying on referrals in your business right now, I hate to tell you this, but you are skating on thin ice. Can referrals, you want to run your business and practice as if anything can be taken away from you tomorrow. And normally when I say that, someone's like, well, how can referrals get taken away from you? Many ways. 2 main ways are, God forbid something does happen to you and you're not the person practicing. There's a huge difference in the amount of referrals that generate from you in the practice than if you hire a new graduate that's 18 months within practice. You will shudder when you look at the statistics. But you may have to do that one day. Not that you want to do that one day, but you want to bulletproof your financial success and your business success and the way you serve in your community. Another way that referrals can get taken away from you in a heartbeat is, this, and this can happen to any one of us, is what if you get wrongly accused of something and get put in the newspapers? I've had friends of mine, some of the busiest chiropractors on the planet, be wrongly accused by a hater, if you will, or whatever it is, and we certainly don't have any shortage of those in the chiropractic profession, but be found not guilty by a regulatory body, even being accused of something, being found not guilty by the regulatory body, yet a newspaper still published a headline saying, guilty, chiropractor found guilty of X, Y, and Z. So let me ask you this. By the way, that's super unfair. That is not fair, but life is unfair. So what if that happens to you? What if you get wrongly accused of something? what if something happens and you're in a newspaper? Let me ask you a question. Do you think his referrals dropped? Plummeted. So if you're relying on a referral-based practice right now, it's a scary place to be. It's a scary place to be, just my humble opinion. That's just my stance. I'm not going to rely on that in my business. I want to have multiple forms of new patients coming from multiple sources that are regularly coming in that I can turn the tap on or off as I like. So in my New Patient Avalanche book, I teach to always have multiple forms of new clients. So let's put that aside. That's just one aspect of it. Now, we're speaking about marketing there, but now let's go to why people say no. In this case, shouldn't have to ism is I don't have to learn how to sell, because if I'm good at the thing I do, that should be enough. And that isn't true. That isn't true. You know, everything is sales in some way, shape, or form, from communication to anything. If you haven't invested in, I highly recommend. I heard someone say this once, it was one of the best pieces of advice I ever got. I highly recommend you invest in books or whatever, whether it's courses or audios or whatever. But if there's something on how to form relationships or how to speak to people, etc., I have always become a richer person, as in relationships and abundance financially and service, by reading those books. So one of the greatest ones, if you have not read How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie, an oldie but a goodie, it's one of the most influential books I've ever read in my entire life. So if you haven't read that, get that straight away. You know, there's another book called How to Get People to Like You in 30 Seconds or Less. And all the stuff that you read in those books are going to help you with context for building relationships. It's a learnable skill and something that can really help our careers in the future. So why do patients say no? Again, it's not about the content, it's about the context, okay? The problem is never the problem. So first of all, the problem is never the problem, meaning that there's two things that people forget about, and I could speak about this for 2 days, but I'm going to try to condense it. What I think that if you just understand these two concepts within this next 30 minutes, you today will have different results with the people you speak to. The number one thing is, without considering, by the way, the fact that I'm ignoring this does not mean that I'm ignoring it, that I don't think it's important. It's absolutely important. But one is, for the purpose of this podcast, I'm ignoring source of introduction, meaning where does the person come from? Does that have an influence on your conversions, your day one and day two? Without a shadow of a doubt, you know? I'm learning more and more as I continue in this game of marketing and business. The longer it takes someone to do business with you, the better. So what I mean by that is, the longer they consume your content, either online or reports or health talks, etc., before they actually decide to come in, those are the greatest patients to work with. Okay, so that's the first context I'll give you. And if they come to see you after consuming some of your content or seeing you positioned as an expert in the media, etc., it's all a game changer as opposed to other sources. But does that mean that particular source that gives you the highest return investment is the only thing that you should be considering? Absolutely not. So again, multiple sources. So if we go once, ignore the beginning part, which is not that it's not important, it's massively important, but for the purpose of today, we talk about the day one, day two. There's only real two things that I can tell you, the biggest mistakes I see in my members, my inner circle members, as well as people I do a lot of consulting with, is these two things. Number one is the understanding of what it is you're dealing with, the sales system / strategy you are dealing with, whether you realize it or not. So I am a student of the game when it comes to this world, but what you have to understand is that the day one, day two process is a well-researched, well-used system and structure and strategy to move someone down or influence and move someone down the steps of doing business with you, or in another way of saying it, or using your custom or some way, shape, or form. A two-step process being the key. If you read any of the greats' books, you will see they will say, like, wherever possible, a two-step process. Now, there are variations of that. You know, there's a pre-frame, and then there's a three-step process, and etc. But for the basics, two-step process. That's the first thing to consider. The next thing to consider is when you're doing a day one, day two process, the words I'm going to say now will send shivers up a lot of chiropractor spines, but you have to understand where it comes from. You must understand a day one, day two process was brought into the profession, sometimes by not chiropractors. I know the history of this, by the way, where because they were the consulting that was given to someone in the industry was you've got to move to a day two or 2 day process. There's too much for someone to handle in such a short space of time. So if you listen to this now, you're not doing a 2 day process. There's only one thing I'll tell you is you'll just have an incredible result by moving to a 2 day process. I'm not going to get into the whole should you adjust in the first visit or not, even though I have my opinions on that. That's not for today. But any 2 day process is better than a 1 day process. First of all. Once you move them through that 2 day process and you understand that that was brought into the profession a lot of times by people outside of the profession who know what they're doing, you also have to understand that other things like care plans, I personally know someone who is credited to bring care plans to the profession is not a chiropractor. So that is something to consider also. So those two things aside, you have to understand, and the words I'm going to use now might send shivers up your spine or anyone's spine, but the strategy we use is a prescriptive sale. It's a prescriptive sale, meaning there's a diagnosis and a prescription. It's a prescriptive sale, a diagnosis and a prescription. Now, whether there might be people listening to this right now who are very wellness, etc. I don't care whether you use the word subluxation, whatever you call it, whatever you are doing in your business is still a prescriptive sale, whether you don't diagnose or not. Let me prove it to you. Sir, here your x-rays are, and we found something. It's called a subluxation. And this is what you need to correct that thing. Okay, or sir, here your surface EMGs are. This is what we found, problem, diagnosis, if you will, of the thing, and this is what you need to correct the thing. So I had to set that context before I teach this next piece, because the key thing is to understand there are two parts to that. The part is, it's being a prescriptive sale, you need to have a problem to have a prescriptive sale. So that is my first point today, is the understanding that doesn't matter how we choose to practice, subluxation-based, wellness-based, etc., it's still a prescriptive sale, a diagnostic and prescriptive sale. I don't care what you call it, all right? So then, take it a step further than that. Now, the biggest problem I see here, I'm going to go to my first point. The first point is that people, because we come into the chiropractic profession, everyone that's come to the chiropractic profession has come because they want to help people. They want to help people. Our hearts are all about helping people. So this next portion doesn't come naturally to a chiropractor. And it is that for you to be able to pull off this type of sales technique is that you have to be skilled, or you have to acknowledge that you need to find a problem that someone has. Okay, now sometimes people come to you and you truly feel that you can't help them, etc. Depending on your philosophical view, that's what you should say, if that is your philosophical view. However, if you believe that every single human being is better when they're getting adjusted, as I do, the next process becomes a means to an end, in that you want to, no matter what, you have to help someone understand that there is something that needs corrected, or that if you found something in some way, shape, or form, and then you need to correct it, right? And to make it better. So if you listen to Tony Robbins's now famous work, Mastering Influence, or Mastering the Art of Influence, or something along those lines, just type it in, his audios, there's really two things you have to understand. People make decisions towards pleasure or away from pain. That's the only thing. We either do stuff because we want fun in our life, etc. I'm going to go jet skiing because I want fun in my life. It's amazing. Or we do stuff because we want to move away from pain. Let me give you an example. I thought it would be a great idea to buy a big lawnmower that I love. It's red. It's incredible. I mowed the lawn twice and I freaking hated it. And I was like, I'm not doing this. So to move away from pain, I hire someone to do that. Two decisions, towards pleasure or away from pain. So when it comes to making a decision about your health, while we may think logically coming from our background, making decision to be healthier as opposed to making it a decision away from a problem slash pain or problem, which is more motivating? And I hope you said there, it's always more motivating to move away. People are way more motivated to move away from a problem or pain than they are towards pleasure. So wellness, if you will, or health is very hard to sell. And even the people that do sell health and wellness very well start with showing some type of issue or problem or concern that they've identified. So that's the first thing I want to state there is the background behind that. Then let's take one step forward. The point of this first point is the biggest challenge I see in the sales process that we have is that people feel uncomfortable to really go there. And this is the one I want you to write down. For you to be good at this thing, you need to be a truth finder. You need to be a truth finder. It's not about finding a problem that isn't there. It's the opposite. It's about digging so you find the truth. How many of you ever asked a new patient before or had this scenario happen before? Because it doesn't matter what we say, new patients minimize, right? But how many of you ever had this before when you say to someone, so have you ever had a car accident before? No, never. Never ever had a car accident ever in your entire life. No. You've never ever had any type of accident, no, ever. Halfway through the consultation, something comes up that jogs their memory that they had a huge car accident. The car rolled multiple times and they ended up in hospital and in a coma for an hour or two or 3 days. Or in hospital or ICU for 2-3 days. How many of you ever had that before? All the time. Or you say to somebody, have you anything else you want to tell me about? And they tell you about that nothing else, no concerns, and halfway through the consultation, they remember that they had a, in their words, minor heart attack. Minor. There's nothing minor about any heart attack. So you understand that your job is to go find those things, but you do that by asking a lot more questions than you're currently doing. And you will struggle to move someone towards making a decision on anything in life if you do not first look for the biggest challenges in their life in other contexts. So point number one is you've got to be a truth finder. And there are amazing ways to do that. You can ask questions like, when is the first time you ever remember having this problem? So you really want to increase their understanding of their problem. Remember, I didn't say increase their problem. You want to increase their understanding of their problem. So you may have had this before. Someone said, how long you had the problem for? And they say, I've had the problem for 2 weeks. And when you ask the question, well, when was the first time you ever remember having any type of X, Y, or Z? They say, oh, well, I've had this for 20 years. So you've actually had it for 20 years. So it's gone from a 2-week problem to a 20-year problem. So now your context on how long it takes to improve a 2-week problem over a 20-year problem is completely different. So point number one is one of the biggest mistakes I see in the making, day one and day two, is they do not dig enough for the truth. How many car accidents have you had? What happened? If it was enough trauma to create damage to the metal there, is there enough trauma? Would there be enough force to maybe dislodge something in your spine or cause damage to your nervous system or your tissues? They're going to say yes. You want to find out what sport they played. What do they do for a career? You know, you can find the statistics about sitting at a desk all day, etc., etc., etc. You want to make sure you find those traumas, find those incidences. And then when you find the problem, when they tell you about their real problem that they came to see you, you want to find out, again, you've got to go deeper. How is it affecting their life? These are all questions you can ask. Like, what's it stopping you from doing? Why is it affecting life? What could you currently do better if you didn't have this problem? And you may have your director-driver type personality that doesn't answer those or sit there with their arms crossed, but you're going to have a tough time converting anyone. First of all, you have to meet them where they're at. But you have to increase, I want you to remember that word, increase their understanding of their issue as opposed to increase the issue. That's not what we're doing here. We're a truth finder. So if you are not really going deep with how it's affected their life and even the emotional things are out there, that must be really tough that you can't pick up your child. That must be really tough that you've had to give up your running. I know it sounds like you've run your whole life. Is running important to you? Yes, it is. How did you feel when you were running full time? It felt great. How do you feel now? What would it mean for you to get back on the road? Those are important questions to ask. And, you know, we do a lot of training on this with my Inner Circle members and in future podcasts. But if all you're left with right now is the first biggest mistake is people do not go deep enough and they do not understand that the psychology behind sales is that people do way more to move away from a challenge than they do towards pleasure. Number one. Point number two, which is kind of broad, a broad stroke that can be pertinent to both day one and day two, but probably more pertinent to your report of findings. The point is this, is that the biggest mistake I see when someone presents either finances or scheduling is that they do not future pace enough. What I mean by this is that you set the tone, you set the context. So they do not set out enough, they're not emphasize enough about how long it takes to heal a certain issue or problem. Now, if you go look at if you need certainty on this, go look at the research, Guyton and Hall and things like that, physiology, textbooks, etc. And go research how long does it take, how long does it state in the textbooks that it states for a tissue or a tendon or a ligament to heal. You'll be very surprised, way longer than you're telling your clients. 18 months, some of the stuff, you know, longer. So why is that important? The pre-framing of how long it might take. For instance, if you're doing a DJD, if you're going through your DJD model and you explain to people how long it took to get to phase three, it also sets context that, hey, listen, if it took X amount of years to get to phase three, it's certainly not going to help and I'm not going to get rid of it or better or move in the right direction in a few visits. It's important. You control the context. You control the context. If you do it with phases of healing map or diagram, it's the same thing. Here might take X amount of times, 2 years, 3 years, 18 months, whatever you feel comfortable saying. That's your truth that you've researched and you feel as confident in saying makes a huge difference. Why? Why does it make a huge difference? Because there's something in sales and in scheduling something saying you have to have a comparative price or a comparative thing that you're doing, and then that sets the context. So let me give you an example. When I'm teaching to someone how long it may take to heal, and I tell them what really has to be the truth about how long it might go from A to B, and let's say in this context, it may take 18 months for that X, Y, or Z to heal, as according to research and all those type of things, 18 months, 2 years, and I'm mentioning that, and that's how long it takes, what's happening to your potential customer, client, or patient right now? When I'm talking about, you know, let's be honest, they've come in and they've expected it to take, you know, a few visits. So when I'm talking about 18 months and 2 years, what's happening to the context of this whole conversation? They may be sitting there, by the way, thinking that I'm crazy. And I want you to understand this, is why people don't do this is because they're scared that they're not going to be liked in that moment. But I want you to understand that sales, in some way, shape, or form, needs tension. Please write that down. The sale needs tension. The sale needs tension. So what you're doing is you're building up tension that is supposed to be there, by the way, as according to the greats. By the way, let's not pretend like we know anything. Let's rather stand on the shoulder of giants. The sale needs some level of tension. Everyone does it, even though they say they don't do it. They do it. Like they'll say, oh, there's 7 days in a week and you only need to see me three of those seven. Same thing. You're setting context. So in this environment, there may be a bit of tension building up in the prospect while you're mentioning that healing takes that long. Now, you're not saying that you're going to see them for that long. But then you're going to, keyword, release the tension. And there's many ways to do that. It's like 18 months. But for the purpose of today, would it be okay if we just focus on the next 3 months? Now, when you started the conversation, if you had said to them it's going to take 3 months to heal, 6 months to heal, compared to their context, that is a long time for anything, you know, for anything, by the way. But when I started the context 18 months or 2 years and then dropped and then said to him and then made sure I built on that, then said, but for the purpose of today, first, is it okay if we focus on the next 3 months? What I've done there is I've set a comparison, I've eased the tension, and for a lot of them, that's going to be a lot more, a bit easier pull to swallow. What most of us are doing wrong is they're leading with the 3 months. I see so many people do. They're leading with the 3 months and then having to drop down to 2 weeks when they get an objection. But the point is that you set your own context so that you can release the tension and then have awesome results in the future, because you can also first get them committed to a shorter space of time, but then also additionally, on top of that, you're also going to get a lot better retention and your PVA is going to be higher because you've controlled the expectations. Even after the 3 months, remember you said it's going to take 18 months or whatever you felt comfortable saying, backed by research that helps you justify what you're saying. You understand? Or else it will not be believable. This is not about BS. This is about, again, be a truth finder, be a truth teller. So, you know, in Guyton Hall, they talk about like 10 and stuff, 18 months to heal. So then go with that research, the thing that makes you feel congruent in saying it. Ladies and gentlemen, how long does it take a nerve to grow? You know, that it doesn't grow at all if it's damaged. But in some researches, you know, like the millimeter in X amount of time, etc. So you've got to use the context that helps you best. So once you've nailed those 2 points, you'll find not only will your conversions go up because you've set A, you have been a truth finder, you've increased someone's importance of their problem to themselves, or the extent of their problem, the truth finder part. And then number two, you need to control the context so that you're telling the truth about how long it may take for the thing to heal. Now, the same goes for sales if you're presenting money. What a lot of people do is they just tell the first price of how much it is, but you really need to set a comparative price there too. You may use comparative prices. So what people sometimes wrongly do is they inflate the price they fake inflate the price and then drop the price. But I quite like going, let me ask you a question. How much does it cost for a spinal surgery? And then write that figure down. How much does it cost? How much does a day in hospital cost in ICU? Write that figure down, like $10,000, whatever it is. And then you've got a comparative and going like, well, listen, actually, am I investing of $19.95 or $14.95 or $2.95 or $900 is pales in consideration to the 10 grand it costs and then the loss of work, the time out of your family, the pain, the risk of death, by the way, etc., etc., etc. So again, you've got a comparative price. So I really like to keep this podcast to about 30 minutes, but I want to ask you a question right now. Did you find that helpful? I truly believe that if you understand the context of just those two things in your day one, your day two, you're going to be a lot better. Number one, be a truth finder. Go out there and be a truth finder to help them understand the severity of their own concern to themselves. You know, people say things like minor heart attack. Sir, there's no such thing as a minor heart attack. Okay, there's a different context, but I want you to understand that. And number two, it's not about the content, it's about the context, meaning you control the context by future pacing or pre-framing, right? Those are the two mistakes. Not going deep enough with and isolating and identifying someone's problem enough or concern or how to fix their life. And number two, not pre-framing and not future pacing before you tell the recommendation or the price of something. Just those two things, I'll guarantee your conversions will go up. I would love to hear from you. Please write a comment. Please write a comment in the comment section a little bit about how you found this one and if it was helpful. And then if you've got some great results for it, let me know. We leave no stone unturned in this podcast and I continue to give you amazing information as we go on. If you want to find out any more information about us, if you haven't got my book, go onto the website. Please grab the book. We'll pay for the book. You just pay for the shipping, and we'll get that across to you. And if you want to find out about my mastermind or my new patient avalanche program, just contact us on the website, and we'll help you where you can. I hope you found today helpful. We love and appreciate you. And I'll finish this. The reason that we teach the sales stuff and the marketing stuff is for one reason only. So we can serve and help more people. Remember, the context we're coming from is that we've got a lot more people to help. We have a lot more people. Market penetration is tiny. We have to really be a student of the game here so that A, we can help more people and we can have more abundance of the profession, of our practices, and of our lives. That's the point. Anyway, love and appreciate you all, and I hope to see you in the next podcast. Make sure you subscribe so that you get notified when our next podcast comes out. We love and appreciate your time. I know that time is the most precious commodity in the world, so I never take it lightly that you've just taken over 30 minutes to listen to me in this. So I really appreciate your time. Thank you so much, and I hope it's helpful.
This has been the DC Practice Growth Show. Implement and share this episode. And remember, if you're not growing, you're dying.